something for the weekend. Good morning, it's Trina Mara. And at the start of this whole COVID business way back in March, I think one of the last interviews I did in studio was with the author Patricia Scanlon. Mind you, we actually still had to talk over the phone because that week we were banned from having guests in. We had no idea what lied ahead. And Patricia is back. Hello, how are you?
Hiya, Trina. It's a bit like a dream. March, isn't it?
I know.
There's months I can't account for.
Because at the time, you were literally just bringing out your book, The Liberation of Bridget Dunn, and the book launch couldn't happen.
3 days beforehand, cancelled.
Yeah,
and all my signings in the bookshops were cancelled. Loads of interviews. Bookshops were closed. Poor Bridget, she sank like a stone.
Oh,
but anyway,
God.
She revived. The paperback will be out in the spring.
So did it not sell well as a result?
I know it did. But it's what, you know, your first 2 weeks of publication are when the big sales, especially with the trade paperback, that's when they would happen, you know.
Yeah.
And it was coming up to Mother's Day as well. So it was an ideal time for selling books. But look, it did well. It got to number one. And it's just so many of us, we had to cancel our launches and so many of us had books out. And we got walloped, and that's the way it is.
Yeah.
So no point in whinging.
Oh, no, sure, it was ideal timing, all the bookshops closed and everything. I forgot that actually it was around the time, Mother's Day. Do you remember people thought, oh, maybe Mother's Day will be able to do, so we'll be back on track by then. People were actually thinking, remember people were thinking the Patrick's Day parade was going to go ahead.
I know. I mean, that's what I'm saying. It is like a dream, isn't it?
And here we
are. I mean, I don't remember any of April, like, and May, except it was lovely, but we were so lucky with the weather.
Yeah, gorgeous weather, yeah. So what have you been up to then all this time? Have you been seeing people or have you been cooped up?
No. Well, I've done the lockdown stuff. And we did have then, we were so lucky, I have a mobile home in Wicklow. And I went, when the pandemic happened, I went down to Wicklow for the day that it opened up on the 17th of March, which is kind of unusual for me because I'm used to on book tour. Mm-hmm. And I was down there on the Friday and I had to come up and do an interview. And I said, I'll come back down on the Sunday. And I had done some shopping in the supermarket in Wicklow and I had toilet rolls and everything and they fell off the trolley. And I was saying to, I wanted to say to people, I'm not panic buying. I'm just setting up my mobile for the summer. And so I had the fridge kind of stuff, the basic stuff in the fridge. And I had spuds and carrots in a press and came up on the Friday intending to go back down the Saturday. And they locked down that night at midnight. And we didn't get back down. It was supposed to be the 29th of July, but it was the 29th of June. And I'm telling you, there were sprouts on those potatoes.
Oh,
and there was
God.
Frozen fish in the freezer and the electricity had been turned off. All the stink of it.
I was only thinking when the whole lockdown started and we were sent to work from home, I was going, God, I really hope that I don't have a smelly yogurt in the fridge in the office because it'll be walking out by now.
Yeah, well, my fish walked out to meet me and actually somebody told me to put coal in the freezer. It was in the freezer and that took the smell away. So there's a hint now for a tip for your listeners.
Oh.
If there's ever anything smelly in their freezers or their fridge.
God, who would have thought it?
See?
Who would have thought
it? You never know what you want to hear from me, so you don't.
So you tell me now, you're clearing underneath the bed there with your crutch. Why are you on a crutch, Patricia?
Well, then I had a hip replacement. I was on crutches for most of the summer, actually, because my hip went. And it was really painful to walk. So I had the hip replacement. I had a knee surgery for it. And then I had the hip replacement on the 3rd. So I'm not past my 6 weeks yet.
Oh, so you only had it
I said, while I was waiting on the phone call, I would put away my summery kind of shoes, which I hadn't been near, and half them were under the bed anyway. So I got my crutch and I was pushing shoes out from under the bed. So,
and how are you finding it?
I didn't waste my time
no.
this morning.
How are you finding it? Are you in pain or is it such a relief to have had it
done?
Well,
it's very unfortunate. Actually, the hip is doing fine, but unfortunately, the left knee has gone wallop and I have to get that done. So it's not really supporting the right hip.
Mm.
So I'm a bit lopsided. They're calling me Hopalong anyway here. And it's a bit of a nuisance. But anyway, look, I'm being made to stay quiet.
Yeah. And did you have to get a special chair or anything? I remember my father-in-law needed a special chair to sit in because you can only sit at a certain height.
My dad, God rest him, had a highish kind of a chair with two arms on the side. And when we cleared out the house after he died, my twin took it. So he gave me a lend of it. And it's great because it's the perfect height. Because
yeah.
you can't really be sinking down into settees or soft chairs.
No, you'll never get up again.
Because it's too hard to get up. Yeah, and you have to keep your, you can't have your knee higher than your hip. And you can't bend. And I keep forgetting about the bending, you know. But anyway,
that's it, yeah.
we won't think about it.
We were talking before, Patricia, about how disciplined you are in your writing. And, you know, you're obviously working at home. And I'd never done this before in my life.
It's part awful,
of me,
isn't it?
Well, part of me loves it and part of me hates it. So
what I feel sorry for people is, and because mine's not too bad, because I can bring my computer out in the back if the sun isn't shining directly onto it, or I can bring it into the sofa if I don't want to sit in the office. But I do feel for people like yourself and your husband who are working from home, and friends of mine, and my niece and her partner. They said if they survive this, they'll survive anything, because they have a rota about who gets the bedroom and who gets the dining table.
Yeah.
And what I kind of feel for people is that your home isn't your haven anymore.
Yeah.
That you can't come home from a bad day in the office and say, oh my God, that was awful, and just collapse in a heap and pour yourself gin and tonic or make yourself a cup of tea or whatever you like to do just to get over a really bad day. So I think that's hard for people.
Yeah. Well, the odd
time... And I
time...
think it's very hard for people with children.
Yeah, well, we did that now during the lockdown when all the creches were closed. We were at home with a toddler as well, who was potty training, so that was tough. But sometimes we meet each other in the kitchen for a cup of tea.
Well, that's
we make an appointment with each other to go on a date.
Yeah.
But yeah. But
that's lovely. It's that pros and cons.
Yeah.
And I mean, one rule I make when I'm writing is if the sun is shining, I don't care. I go out and I make the most of it. I don't care what I'm doing unless I'm really coming near the end or in a crucial scene, I will go out into the garden. And the garden is the only place I can read without feeling guilty if I'm working on a book, and also because I should be tidying up the house and I'm not. So if I go outside with a book, I'm okay, but I actually can't sit in a chair and read a book in my house.
Can you not? Because you're looking at all the things that need to be done.
Yeah, exactly.
Ah.
And the work that has to be done in the office and the emails that have to be answered and stuff like that.
Did you do writing then during this summer?
Well, I just wrote actually one short story, and it was for the Open Door Anthology of Voices, which I was also the editor of. And that's the only bit of writing I've done. But it's the most beautiful book. We have 27 fabulous authors. We have Roddy Doyle, Christine Dwyer Hickey, Sheila Flanagan, Sinead Moriarty, Graham Norton, Blind Boy, Carlo Gebler. There's a selection of great writers who've written this beautiful book. We called it Voices, and we wrote it for the Open Door, which is for the literacy series. So, you know, it's to kind of help the emergent reader. But it doesn't make any difference. Anybody can read these short stories. It's got great reviews. It'll be lovely. It's only $9.99, a lovely Christmas present. Because a lot of people can't concentrate on a book now. A lot of people are telling me this, that they're liking reading short stories or poetry.
Oh, I love
because their attention span is gone with the COVID, kind of this, that and the other, and you know, all the drama that's going on. And I used to feel like Christmas morning every time I get a manuscript in from one of these amazing authors. There's one by Emily Harrington that actually, I was at the hairdressers when the hairdressers opened, and I was reading her manuscript and it made me cry in public at the hairdressers. Fortunately, I had a mask
God.
On. Yeah, so they're beautiful stories.
When you were getting these stories in, obviously as the editor, are you then having to contact like Graham Norton to say, Graham, I don't like what you did there. Could you change that?
Yeah. Because we have kind of a set of guidelines, like keeping the sentences short and accessible and keeping kind of kinetic so that a word can be broken up easily for somebody who finds reading difficult. So when I had to make changes, I sent it through his editor. I wasn't actually speaking to Graham personally himself, but he was a dope. Like, I mean, I sent the begging email looking for a short story, and he agreed. And 10 days later, I had a practically perfect short story. I sent all the authors two examples of what we were looking for, short stories. I sent them mine because I'd written mine. And I think I sent Roddy Doyle's because he's very knowledgeable about literacy as well. And I got a short story back from him that was practically perfect. You know, the authors were fantastic.
Yeah.
They really are so generous with their time and their skills.
It must take you no time at all, though, to throw together a short story, does it?
Oh, no. Like, no. I mean, a short story is quite a different thing from writing a novel. So you have to be very concise and compacted, and every word has to count. So it's quite different. But what I love about it is you've got your beginning and middle and an end much, much faster than when you're writing a novel. But it's a different kind of mindset in a short story. And quite challenging.
Okay, well, Patricia, I hope the hip heals well. And it's been good to catch up since the last time we spoke way back in March, which feels like a lifetime ago. And
maybe next March when the paperback is out. Oh, yeah, and City Girl, I forgot to tell you, City Girl is 30 years old this year. And she came out in the pandemic, a new edition of City Girl to celebrate her 30th anniversary, would you believe?
And how can that happen when you're only 19 yourself now? It's weird, isn't it?
I'm a baby when I write it, and I wish. But yeah, so all these lovely things happened in the middle of the pandemic, and we couldn't do the celebrations. Maybe next year.
Oh yeah, exactly. And then
we live in hope.
Perfect ideas there for lovely Christmas gifts. I always say I love a book. I'll never be disappointed with a book on Christmas morning. So there's a couple of suggestions for you.
Yeah.
Patricia won't buy any. She just gives her own ones out.
No, I do buy books. I believe in supporting other authors.
Listen, you're very good, Patricia. Hope the hip heals well, and hope to see you in person soon.
Thanks a million. And happy Christmas to you, Trina, and happy Christmas to all your listeners.
Oh, you're very good. Thanks so much. This is Something for the Weekend. It's Classic Hits.